Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm delighted to share my first series is in partnership with Heck, who, like me, do things differently. Being an independent and British family-owned business, they use the finest ingredients in small batches, pulling out all the stops to bring that farmer's market quality to the supermarket shelf. In addition to their delicious original range, they offer veggie options too, catering for absolutely everyone, all of which can be found online at heckfood.co.uk and in the major supermarkets too. Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to simplify nutrition, equipping you with all the evidence-based advice you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, Harley Street nutritionist, master practitioner, personal trainer, and best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well. I'm so excited to share my vision of food far beyond the confines of my clinic. I truly believe food should always be a positive aspect of life, offering enjoyment, fuel, and happiness for both the mind and body. I'll be joined by some very special guests, and we'll be talking about how to develop a healthy relationship with food, and what does that even mean? How does it make us feel, and how it can change our lives forever? Shona Virtue is a former elite gymnast, author, personal trainer, and yoga teacher with over 10 years of experience. Best known for her gravity-defying postures and incredible strength, we have seen her become one of social media's top fitness gurus. The Virtue Method fuses yoga, weighted circuit training, and meditation. And this has seen Shona become the cast trainer for the Hollywood blockbuster Wonder Woman, one of MTV's squad on Beachbody Ready. And even the incredible Mr. David Beckham credits her for making his aches and pains disappear. Now, with Shona traveling back and forth from Australia, I am unbelievably privileged to have her with me here today in the studio. Hello, Shona. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I can't believe we've actually managed to get this date in the diary. Finally.
I know, it's crazy. This has been like 7 years in the making, guys.
Just about. So, I mean, you do work 20 hours a week, probably. You're a hardcore gymnast. You're training. You're transforming world-famous physiques. I mean, how do you think, because we're on the topic of food here, your relationship with food has evolved over the years?
Okay, well, I will just put in that I'm an ex-gymnast. I definitely don't train the same amount of hours that I used to. But yes, I grew up training minimum of 20 hours a week as an elite gymnast.
Insane.
Are you saying how has it changed since then?
Yeah, I mean, over the years, do you think your relationship with food has become more of a positive one? Have you experimented or dabbled in different areas? How has it shaped you?
I wouldn't say that it was actually ever negative. When I was training as a gymnast, the only difference is that I saw food very much for its fuel purposes.
Of course.
Mm. So, you know, and also at the time, you know, I had my father prepping meals for me. And he would do things like, I mean, obviously I was a kid, so he had to try and make things interesting. So he would do things like raw eggs in like smoothies, right, for protein, and would try to call it like a, he's like, oh, it's exactly the same as a McDonald's thick shake.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, yeah, no, Dad, it's definitely not. I can taste the egg.
Yeah.
So,
bless him.
He tried his best. But and actually, he did an amazing job because I was always fueled really well for gymnastics. Now, as I got older, I guess I just kind of came to realize that there was a lot of enjoyment to be had through food.
I love that.
Yeah. And so I still see it for the fuel that it is, but I also see it for the enjoyment capabilities that you can have as well.
Of course. I mean, it sounds like your parents were heavily, well, supportive, really, really there for you growing up with that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's no other way, really, because if, particularly at an elite level, you know, you basically need people there kind of guiding you the whole way through.
Of course. I mean, one thing you say a lot is that the key to health is definitely a commitment to your own self-worth and self-love. And what would you say is the first step in doing this?
It's so interesting because that's a quote from my book. And interestingly enough, I actually think there's a step that I've sort of left out of there. And I think before you can get self-worth and self-love, you need to get self-acceptance or at least develop and cultivate it. And that can take years.
Do you think it's something that comes in age? Because I know, I mean, I love your book. First of all, The Virtue Method is an incredible book. I know how long you spent working on that. Do you think it comes with age or is it learning experiences?
I think it's both. I think age is, well, I always say age is just a number. And I would say that sometimes people can have experiences that help them to achieve that at an early age. And then other people that don't have those experiences but are, you know, in their 50s, 60s, 70s and still haven't come to terms with self-acceptance.
Of course.
So I think that it's something that we need to cultivate over time. And this is why I kind of harp on and on about women putting more emphasis into their training from a sort of a skill-based. And I'm not saying that aesthetics are a bad reason to start training or to train.
It can be a motivational thing for some people.
Absolutely. Mm. And it can get you into it. But I just think that a lot of the time there's too much emphasis for women on their on how they look. We talk about female bodies all the time.
I completely agree. Don't you think there's so much more to health now? It's not shouldn't be about how you look only.
Absolutely. And I think that is a big, you know, I mean, we can go into the detail about the objectification of women over hundreds of different years.
Right.
But it's I think that's what's infiltrated the fitness industry, and it has affected our reasons for training. You know, we see commonly still words, I use them, toned, sculpted. This is the language that we that we as women understand when it comes to our health and fitness.
Well, it's in every magazine, it's everywhere. It's if you look in a gym, even on the
wall. It's everywhere. Well, like I said, I use it, but I also try to encourage women to train for different reasons. There is nothing that feels better than just being able to do something incredible with your body, even if it's just a push-up, but being able to move your body against gravity in that way is so incredible. It's so incredible.
So I remember when I did my first one, even on my knees, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm strong now.
Exactly. And you know what? No one can take that away from you. No beauty standard, no fashion magazine can ever take away from you the power that you can get from being able to do something like that. So that's why I say you've got to develop the self-acceptance first of like, okay, here's where I'm at. I'm going to try my best to see my body for what it's capable of rather than constantly sort of like bashing at it.
I think that's really, really important to hammer home. And it's really good to hear you say this, especially from the position that you're in, because you're kind of at the top of this fitness, what I call fitness world at the moment. You're doing so well. And do you think that your background as a gymnast and a dancer, did that shape your attitude towards this and towards fitness?
100%. Yes. I would say that I am very lucky to have been put into that from a young age because for me, exercise and training, particularly when I was younger, was always the motivation behind doing things like 10 sets of whatever, 10 reps of a push-up
or
whatever. Yeah, it's just easy because personal trainers, we can't really count above 10, sometimes 12. But for the most part, I was really lucky to, all my training was based around being able to kind of develop an ability to do a backflip or a pirouette or some kind of jump. And then as I got older and I stopped doing gymnastics, stopped doing dance, it suddenly became the same reason that lots of other people train, which was like, oh, I want to have lines down my stomach, or I want to have like a perkier butt or like toned arms. And it really shifts your motivation. It shifts your ability to keep training.
So I guess obviously you were thinking of your body in a more functional way before even as well, before getting into the kind of personal training industry. It's very much, wow, look at what my body can achieve. Look at what it can do, which is quite a wonderful thing to have from such a young age.
That's what I say. I'm very lucky. And obviously, I was under a lot of pressure and there were definitely parts
definitely
of
stress.
It. Exactly. And there's definitely parts of it that can manifest into unhealthy relationships with exercise and food.
Yeah.
But for me, it really didn't. I was lucky. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that my parents were very good at, I guess, just breaking down the reasons for exercise always. They were just always on about health.
Yeah. Constantly.
What about your friends and things at that time? Did you have other friends doing the same kind of thing, or were they
gymnasts
not?
Gymnasts don't have friends. Gymnasts okay, there have we go. Competitors. No, I'm joking. No, I'm joking.
There's probably an element of truth in that.
No, we do. The hard part was that I was training so much that all my friends were also my gymnastics.
Yeah.
Like the people that I was against. So obviously you have your gymnastics team, but then within your team, you also want to be the first at, you know, floor, beam, bars, whatever it is. And so for me, I definitely, my best friend at the time, Hayley Tyrrell. Hi, Hayley. She's definitely not listening. But she was way better than me.
Aww.
Way better than me. And we would have sleepovers all the time. Yeah. You know, we loved each other and we didn't see it like that. But competition time came and I was always like, damn it.
I know. I think that goes, I mean, that was back in a time where there wasn't social media. So you can only imagine what competition must be like now for people.
Oh,
even in your kind of industry before, so gymnasts, dancers, fitness, athletes, they must see other people online now, not just on the track or in the, what do you call it, in the gym.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all the stuff online. Also, like, you have the element of, I mean, for athletes, there's the element of, like, whose social media is probably bigger,
who's
getting the better kind of brand relationships, and who's getting on TV. There's so many different.
Oh gosh! So on the subject of social media, I mean, I love watching your page. I personally get so much inspiration from it. And one of my favorite things that you have come up with, which I think people are taking on board, is wake up and is it meditate before you caffeinate?
Yes, I do say meditate before you caffeinate, and I also say hydrate before you caffeinate.
Good girl.
Which I know that you love.
Thank you.
The thing is that every now and then, it's funny because you read some articles that are, and I'm sure you can comment on this, but there are lots of articles that say actually, you know what, caffeine and coffee doesn't dehydrate you and you can take into account the liquid from the coffee that you drink.
Yeah.
But for me, a lot of people will have their coffees in the morning.
Oh, yes.
And you've just gone, eight or 9 hours with zero liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always just say, just hydrate.
Just have a glass of water.
Just have some water.
Honestly, Shona, that's one of the first things. I'm so glad that you hammer this home, because in my clinic, I find a lot of clients just try and have a glass of water when you wake up. Anything, because your cortisol levels are already high when you wake up. That's the stress hormone that makes you more alert in the morning. And then what people are doing is just kind of adding another layer of stress the minute they wake up. Like they get out of bed, they roll out, they go to the espresso machine, if you're lucky enough to have one. Coffee straight away.
Totally.
So do you actually do this every day? You meditate and then you start your day?
So I will always do those things at some point in my day.
Yeah.
Lately, just because of the move, I have been not meditating as much in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'll still meditate on a daily basis, but I've really noticed a difference to my ability to focus without having the meditation in there.
Yeah.
So, but I do always hydrate and then caffeinate.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, you're good with that one. But in terms of meditation, I mean, it's something that I've got to be wholeheartedly honest, I'm still finding it very difficult to get into or set the time aside.
Why do you find it, not so much setting the time aside, because I know that time is difficult, but why do you find meditation, all about me asking you
on,
now.
Ask me.
Well, what do you find difficult about meditation?
I find that the acceptance of hearing other thoughts and actually not blacking them out. So I have to face what's in my head. And that's what I find most difficult. I'm sat there with my own thoughts.
I am so glad that you said this, Ree, because actually it's just such a huge misconception about meditation is that you need to stop thoughts.
Oh, no, that's what I realized. When someone, I think it was Michael James Wong as well.
Right.
He mentioned this to me and he said, but we have to learn to be at one with our thoughts because we're so distracted in society today.
Yes.
If I look at my phone all day, the day whizzes by. But the minute I take that away, that's how I used to be as a child without a phone. Are you actually there with the other voices in your head?
Yes.
Yeah.
You sound crazy. No, you don't sound crazy. We all have voices.
But does that take time for you to get used to?
Well, I think it's important for us to get used to it. It's there. And the problem is that if we try to utilize things to distract ourselves, they turn into addiction.
Yes.
And I do think that that's where addiction is a more extreme version of distraction.
Of course.
You know, and depending on what you use to be addicted to or to distract yourself with, you know, we focus on the ones that are super destructive, like alcohol, drugs,
because they're
super destructive to our body. But where do you draw the line, really, with social media as being an addiction or
think
shopping?
We are an addicted nation to phones now.
Absolutely. And why? And I think it comes down to distracting ourselves from discomfort. And so I do, and there's probably loads of different elements to it, but I think that uncomfortable situations, uncomfortable thoughts, they make us want to distract ourselves.
They do, so let's go and take ourselves away.
So let's just be okay with the discomfort a little bit.
I think that's true, and building resilience in your own emotions and feelings, I think that's important, and something that the future generations, I think, is something we're going to have to watch out for and protect them from, because they're not growing up
Absolutely.
Without this exposure. But back on to something I also hear you say on a total other end of the spectrum. I love this. More plants, less pants all the time. Why are you so passionate, Shona, about plant-based eating?
Okay, so I will say that the less pants, more plants in my Aussie accent. Yeah, you have to say it with the accent.
You do. Sorry, I ruined it.
No, you didn't. It's just
so British.
I always forget when British. I know plants and pants. You wouldn't say pants, so it doesn't really work. But it was meant to be less pants, more plants.
Yeah.
So basically, I would never be the type of person to push a plant-based diet on anyone.
No.
I just believe that the way that we eat is very personal. And so, and I know you'll agree with me on this one. So I think it's not right for someone like me in the position that I'm in with, you know, a platform to actually be like, you should be a vegan or you should eat like this or you should eat like that. The context changes everything.
Yeah, so, people don't have to label their food choices.
Exactly. But what I think we can all agree on is that more vegetables will do everyone a world of good.
Exactly.
And so it was more just about trying to, I guess, sex up the concept of eating vegetables.
Well done. And I love it.
Because, you know, even when you see recipe books these days, unless they're plant-based, of course, but it's sort of like this slab of meat and then some veggies to, like, decorate the plate.
This is why, because they're boiled or are, like, future.
Exactly.
Oh, these generations that grew up with just boiled broccoli or carrots. Or
right.
There's no wonder people don't enjoy the taste of vegetables because there's so much more you can do with them.
There's so much more you can do with them. And I think that also we need to see images where they are the main show or the main star of the show, if that makes sense. And then, you know, let the protein be your garnish rather than, you know, the other way around.
Well, you know, this is something that I think is very important to actually talk about because we are in a nation where I call it the worried well. So the people that may be listening to this, or I hope there's some new people we can inspire and change, but they're probably already pretty clued up on health and fitness. So that's why they're listening to us discussing this, which is wonderful. Thank you, guys. But there's the other end of the spectrum where we need to help other people out there that don't have exposure to this, that don't know where to start, that literally do associate vegetables with that bland meal they had that they're, no offense to any grandmas that may have cooked a boiled ham dish with boiled broccoli or carrots, you know, but there's so much more, isn't there?
Trust me, it's not just grandmas and mums that are cooking veggies like that. I know plenty of bodybuilders and fitness people that cook their food in that way, and that's why they have a real issue with seeing food for enjoyment. It's just very much like, right, I've
meal
got
prep.
This exactly, it's meal prep. It's like I've got the broccoli, what's it going to give to me, this phytonutrient? And
broccoli,
most of the time it's
chicken.
Not even phytonutrients, which are the nutrients in plants. It's actually like, what are my macros?
Oh, which is such a shame, because then you miss the bigger picture of the diet, you miss the
fiber
consumption, all the little micronutrients, things that help your brain health. It's so many other things.
Absolutely.
And that's another thing to raise, because I think in the fitness industry people associate it with a very all or nothing approach. You're either eating this ridiculously, I'm going to use the word clean, that's what you associate kind of bodybuilding with, whereas actually it should be about overall health and vitality.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it depends, because I think it's very easy to kind of, the problem with social media is that we look, so the pictures that we see, we might see them as someone who is entering these bodybuilding competitions. Mm. And if you're in the context of a bodybuilding world, then, you do have to eat in that way in order to
achieve the results.
Exactly. But they're not, a lot of them aren't preaching health.
No,
they're talking very much about the aesthetic and that's their choice.
Mm.
But I think the problem is that sometimes we see these pictures, or worse, these people end up on the cover of magazines.
Oh, I know. And they're all airbrushed anyway, on top of what they've
already achieved. But then, so we might assume that's okay. Is that what health looks like? Because we're a very visual society.
Well,
so we look at it and go, that must be what health looks like. Okay, what does she do? And that's why I'm always reluctant to make these videos or posts about what I eat in a day.
So happy to hear you say that.
Yeah.
And I think it is dangerous. And that leads me on to the next question. So do you think it is dangerous to associate kind of exercise regimes purely based on aesthetics because of that reason? Is it unrealistic? Can we all achieve that?
I don't know whether it's dangerous, and I don't think that it's bad either. I think that for a lot of people, they might feel like, okay, this is the thing that's going to get you into exercise. So maybe it's sort of like you want to drop some pounds to fit into your mom's wedding dress that's been handed down, or like something like that, right? Which is amazing. So I think that the problem is that if you go into exercise sort of really bashing aesthetics, then you're probably not going to...
There's all ends of the spectrum.
There's all ends of the spectrum.
You've got to appreciate that everyone wants to look and feel good.
Exactly.
There's a line.
Exactly. And so we can't... I think that there's nothing wrong with getting started on that. On that foot. However, if that's the only reason that you're there, if it's the only reason, then your motivation is going to dwindle and it's going to be at the mercy of beauty standards, which are ever-changing.
Oh, I know.
They are completely ephemeral, and we have to remember that. I think in everything that we do, not even just for health and fitness, but even things like questioning why you put makeup on in the morning, it's sort of like, okay, are you putting it on because intrinsically you feel like, I love putting art on my face?
Yes. Yeah,
or are you doing it because you feel like, okay, I have to beat a standard that's been set? Yeah. Maybe it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, and that's fine. But I think we have to make sure that anything that we do, particularly as women, and this comes back to this feminist concept, is that we can't keep making these choices just based purely on what we've been told for hundreds of years that we need to do.
10 years ago, even, the whole physique that's popular today wasn't around. It changes so quickly.
It changes so quickly. And I mean, a lot of the time it's set by the fashion industry.
It
and
is.
Guess what? It's often...
That's evolving, ever evolving.
Exactly.
Months and months ahead of time. Very, very good.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Points, and you talk a lot about stress as well in the fitness industry, and this is another end of the spectrum, and this is over-exercising perhaps. We discussed the extreme eating kind of fast, but do you think that, does it do more harm than good when we are very stressed and we're exercising? I mean, what should we be careful of?
Okay, yes, I think we have to remember at the end of the day, exercise is a form of stress. Mm. Now, stress in a good way.
Yeah.
It depends. So stress gets a bad rap, but actually stress is what causes adaptation in the body. And this adaptation is really important, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So in order for us to become, you know, better humans, when I say that, I mean, like, let's just say from a physical perspective, let's say like stronger, for example.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we were to become stronger, we need to push our body to a point where it feels stress so that then the body goes, hold on a sec, I need to be stronger because she's doing shit that's making me need to be stronger.
Yeah, and that also affects the brain, so the neuromuscular connections in the body.
Exactly, so that's a tax on the body.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, if all you had to concentrate on every day of the week was just to get stronger physically, that would be fine. And I would say, train every day and go hard. But the fact of the matter is that we have life, we have relationships, we have stressful jobs, have divorces, breakdowns, children,
house moves, everything.
All of that. Exactly, right? I'm going through that right now.
Totally.
So you have to amend what you're doing in order to accommodate for all the stress. And in we call this your allostatic load. And this is allostatic load is all the different types of stress that are on you right now.
So if, for instance, I am Tom, I've been to my investment bank for the day. Hi, Tom. Mm-hmm. You're so stressed, Tom. Is the best thing to do to go and do a HIIT class before you even eat and you start work that day, and then you go and be stressed? Is that a good or a bad idea?
No, I think, well, I mean, I can't, I'm not in Tom's body.
No,
sadly.
Sorry, Tom.
But I would say if Tom was coming to me as a client, I would look at his whole life. I would try to get an understanding of his allostatic load, of his overall stress.
Yeah.
And I probably, most likely 9 out of 10 times would say, let's skip on the hit. Let's do something else for a little while until work starts to ease off a little bit or until your life changes in some way.
Uh-huh. Okay. So we've had loads of questions from social media for you. I put it out there. I know. I've had lots. I actually updated a few this morning as well because we had some extra ones come in. Okay. So you ready for this?
I was born ready.
Of course she was. Just look at her. Ready for it, Shona. Okay. Lucy says, how long before I start seeing change? You must get this a lot.
You must get this a lot.
Well, yeah, I do with the dietary aspect, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So what I will say is that adaptation, and I'm sorry, this is a boring answer, but adaptation is going to vary depending on so many different factors. Mm. Okay. So what you're talking about, right, changes, that's adaptation. That's the same sort of thing. Okay. So if you're super stressed, your adaptation might be a little bit slower in the fitness side of things.
Yeah.
And so you have to take that into account. I can't answer because I don't know your whole life story
exactly.
and what's going on for you right now.
What is your health history? You know, we don't know.
Exactly. But what I will say is that adaptation will be much more consistent if you are on a program. Yeah, a program, some kind of fitness program that you're tracking the weight you're lifting or the reps you're doing. And whoever's written the program has applied the principle of progressive overload. And this is just something, basically, it means things getting harder over time.
Of course.
And if you're just kind of going in willy-nilly doing workouts here and there that you found on Instagram, then chances are it's going to be a slower, I'm not saying it won't happen, but it's just going to be a slower process of change.
Yeah.
So if you're really serious about adaptation, you need to apply the same principles that they apply to athletes training for the Olympics.
Of course. Oh, and this is the thing. I think because almost anything's possible in today's society, we think, which is great, you know, we can achieve anything if you put your mind to it.
Yeah.
But we almost set such unrealistic goals for ourselves that we're going to walk into a gym and 10 weeks later we're going to look like an athlete because we've been going 3 times a week.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to remember that athletes, obviously, that's all they do.
They spend their life. Muscle mass is built at a younger age.
Exactly.
And I think if you haven't had, I mean, this isn't to put anyone off, but if you weren't an elite gymnast when you're younger or you weren't in the gym, your physique is not going to be perhaps as quick to adapt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's something that we get a lot. So the next question is from Sadie. Lovely Sadie. She said she can only work out at home. So what equipment would you recommend to get at home?
A kettlebell, a resistance band, and a yoga mat. And then the virtue method. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, thanks, Sadie.
So where can you get a kettlebell and a band?
You can just get them on Amazon. I'm going to start selling bands very, very soon. In fact, by the time this podcast is out, I'll probably have already started. So
check
out my website.
Go get your virtue bands.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I'm going to get a virtue band. Okay, Lauren says, what is the best time of day to work out?
This is really an interesting question and one I get all the time. This is why I think it's really important to try and pay attention to your natural energy levels across the day. Ideally, we want to train when we get this natural cortisol spike.
Of course.
And cortisol being, as we talked about earlier,
this
chemical that you, or hormone that you have that makes you sort of feel awake. It's often, we often like say it's a really bad one, but actually it's not. It's bad
natural.
In excess.
Yeah.
It's natural. And it can actually help. It's perfect when you're training. So you want to try to meet that. So if that means that you, when you wake up in the morning, I always say it's like that sort of, it's when I write the best emails.
Yes.
Basically.
No, I love it. I call it golden hour in the morning.
Golden hour, when I get up
and I smash it.
Now, most of the time we dedicate that to email writing or getting shit done at work. But if you could just steal a portion of that and try and train in that hour, that would be the
dream. I love training in the morning, babe. It's like my
favorite
time to go.
Exactly.
So tonight I'm doing an F45 class, but at 5:45.
Ouch.
I know. No, and I love that time normally to wind down, but I had no other time.
You had no other time. Exactly. And so that's the other thing I will say is the best time that you can fit it in is the best time that you can fit it
in. But I'm with you. I'm a morning girl all the way. And there is a worry, isn't there, if they exercise too late?
Yeah, but if you're a shift worker, then, you know,
what
could you do?
Yeah.
And also, you will have a different cortisol spike and you will have a different circadian rhythm anyway if you're shift working.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would just try and really listen into your body. Don't listen to some, you know, I'm putting inverted commas here, but some expert on what you should do. You are the number one expert of your body and you can take information, but you have to.
Thank you.
True wisdom
that.
Is like what you experience.
Totally, because I think it's very unrealistic. People work different hours, different shift paddings, different lives. It's unrealistic to say that one rule, there is no one rule.
No, absolutely.
Thank you for saying that. So Rachel has asked now, this is a difficult one because I don't think any of us really truly do, depending what she means. Do you have rest days? Yeah, so she's asking,
right, exactly. Yes.
I mean.
So this, again, but all questions will always depend on the context.
Exactly.
And I know you guys probably get sick of hearing us say this, but it's true. So when it comes to rest days, if I'm very honest with you, depends on what you mean by rest. But if you mean sitting on, you know, spending a day where I just sort of slump around the house or on the couch all day, then absolutely not. I do not ever have one of those because, and the biggest reason why is because of the lymphatic system. Now, your lymphatic system is your immune system. It's a big part of your immune system. And it's heavily reliant upon your movement. So it doesn't have the same as the circulatory system where we can pump blood up against gravity.
Yeah, there's no one pumping that.
There's no one pumping lymphatic fluid around the system. Only you can through movement. So your muscles will help push that up. So if you're not doing any movement, you're going to be really stagnant and you don't get that lymphatic drainage. And so that's one of the key reasons that I will always move at some point. So even if it's just going for a brisk walk outside, if it's too cold and I'm angry about the weather in London, then I will stay at home and I'll do some yoga. And trust me, that's a common occurrence. I will stay at home and I'll do some yoga, but I will never just be stagnant.
No,
absolutely
I make excuses
not.
To go to the shop at random times if I can in the evening. But I just need to go buy an orange. Like, I just go. And then my journey's been worth something to eat my orange. But at least I've moved.
But at least you've moved. The other thing you have to remember, guys, is that if you're spending 9 hours a day at a desk, then you don't need a rest day. I don't think anyway.
Yeah.
Unless you're ill. That's the only other time that I would say. If you're really, really sick. But even then, for that, I have, sorry to plug my YouTube, but I do actually have a video that I made when I was sick. And it was a yoga sequence that I do when I was sick. Yeah. And I get so many comments about that one. Yeah. People saying, oh my God, I feel so much better after doing
That's
it because it's not rigorous, but you do just feel better from moving.
We all need a bit of that. So check out Shona's YouTube channel. It's wonderful. I use it a lot when I'm in clinic in the office.
Wonderful.
So I just need to stretch out. I get Sophie up at the back and we're doing stretches in the room.
I love it.
It's a good thing to do, guys. So the last question that I picked was from Maria. Maria said, I don't just wake up motivated. So what's your trick at getting going in the morning? Is there one?
I think that motivation's evil twin brother is motivational guilt.
Oh, guilt. I really detest guilt.
And guilt is awful. And the thing is that what we have to accept is that we are not going to feel motivated every day of the week. I am not an endless supply of motivation.
No,
I really am not.
We have hormonal fluctuations and different moods.
Absolutely.
And different things.
We have to respect the menses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our menstruations.
Gosh,
like,
totally.
We have to totally respect how we feel. Now, what I will say is, do you always feel motivated to clean your teeth? Maybe some of you clean freaks do, and that's fine. But it's like, you know, sometimes it's not exactly the most exciting, fun thing for us to do, but we know that we need to do it because we also hate stanky breath, right?
Yeah.
Or rotting teeth.
Or you could just blast out a tune in the bathroom and like dance around with your toothbrush, but no one does that.
But no one does that. But the truth is that, you know, the reason we probably don't feel is we can't compare, you know, cleaning our teeth to exercise because we don't get the same sort of instant gratification from exercising like we do from cleaning our teeth. But it should be just as important to you. So just know you're not always going to feel motivated, but you've got to do it anyway. And this is where discipline steps in. And it's about discipline. And guess who's best friends with discipline? Self-acceptance and self-respect.
Which
and
goes
self-love.
Back to your initial phrase we started with, guys, which is self-acceptance, which is hugely important.
It's huge. And it goes self-acceptance, self-worth, self-love.
Respect yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, your body is. Yes, babe.
Love you, Aretha.
Yes.
Rest in peace.
Okay, we're going to round up today with one of my favorite parts of the podcast. Now, I don't give the guests these questions, so they have no idea what's coming. This is the quick fire round.
Okay, orange. That's the color of my pants
that's
right
first
now.
Instinctive answer.
I knew
Love
she was going to go there.
Thanks for sharing that, babe. What about the sports bra? Orange too?
Well, you can see that.
I can see that. Actually, no, it's not orange. Pop. Okay, right. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
She's ready. What is always in your fridge?
Oh, spinach.
Oh,
sorry,
like
it's
one.
Not very sexy.
No,
I know.
Great.
But spinach is always in my fridge.
You can only have one kitchen gadget. What would it be?
Blender.
Mm-hmm. We've had blenders. You know, blenders are a popular one.
Yeah, because you can just
do everything.
Well,
you do love a good blender.
Digestion.
You make some amazing herbal things.
I make nice herbal things, soups and smoothies.
Mm, yum.
So good.
Signature homemade dish.
I'm trying to think of something complex, but honestly, my signature homemade dish is probably some form of smoothie bowl.
Love it.
Or a protein pancake.
No shame in that, babe, whatsoever.
Oh, it's so basic.
Basic is good. What is your favorite restaurant?
Oh, don't do this to
me. I know,
me.
It could be anywhere in the world. Could be back home.
Okay, I'm going to shout out to Karina Kovner because I love her. She's a good friend of mine back in Sydney, but she has the most amazing cafes. Bellagio is one of them in Bronte, and the other one is the Tuck Shop Cafe in Bondi.
Okay.
Yes.
I wish I could go. I've never been to Australia. That's somewhere I really need to go on my tick list to go to.
You do, and now I'm going to be there and you have a
space
to stay.
I know, I have a place
stay.
To go. Yeah. Yes, bring it on. So on that note, what is the one food you can't live without?
Oh.
Mm.
Jesus. Should I go fun? What is the one food that I can't... I mean, I don't think about food enough in this way.
Exactly.
I feel
exactly.
Like...
Exactly. I'm causing you a bit of stress
so
right
much
now.
Stress. You're adding to my allostatic load right
I
now.
Am,
I can't
I
handle
am.
It. Can't take it. I was going to say water.
That's fine. You
is that
say
fine?
Water.
It's not really a food, but it's I just essential. Feel like it just feels like shit when you are dehydrated.
Really does,
sorry to swear
it?
On your podcast.
That's
good
all right.
Girl,
don't worry. It's an adult rated. We can have that on there.
Okay, good.
What's the strangest food you've ever eaten?
Ooh.
I know. It gets you thinking, this one.
The strangest food I've ever eaten. It probably would have been something in Asia where, I mean, that's context, isn't it? Because
yeah,
to them, it's not strange. Yeah. But I would say it's probably something in, you know what it is. It's back home in Fiji. So Fiji's part, yeah. I'm Fiji's yeah. in my blood.
Yeah.
And kava. Kava's like this mud Ooh. That gets you high, basically.
Sorry, what? Mud? Mud. I love
it's
that.
It's kind of like this clay mud thing.
And you eat
I mean,
it.
Fijians will be really angry at me for saying
okay.
it, like for simplifying it in that way. But
please drop
yeah.
a message, anyone listening from Fiji, because I would love to hear what you think about. Was it
kava? It
sounds
I think
like
it's
champagne.
Illegal in certain places. It's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
Babe,
just.
That definitely ticks the box for strangest food.
It is. You
what
mix
is
it
your...
with water and you just drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
What is your go-to healthy dish in a rush? I think we know this one.
Probably a smoothie.
Yeah, it's probably a smoothie.
Sorry.
We're loving the smoothie. And who is your biggest cooking inspiration?
I just feel like I want to say Nigella Lawson.
Do you know?
Has everyone said that?
Yeah, but we love Nigella. Doesn't that say a lot, though?
Yeah, I feel like I need to say someone else now.
No,
but,
no.
Yeah, I would say, Nigel Slater.
Okay,
but
yeah.
he's an incredible writer, and he always makes
yeah.
me literally LOL.
Really?
So I will actually
Good.
Not
okay.
just say it, but
yeah.
I will laugh out loud at his descriptions of food.
Brilliant.
Jackson Boxer is another one.
Okay.
He's an incredible chef. I also I basically think it's – I get attached to their personality.
Yes.
Because a lot of the time I don't actually cook what they tell
no.
me to cook.
Yeah,
and so, yeah it's probably
that. Personality, that's good though. Personality is what we want in food as well.
Yes.
What was your favourite childhood treat?
Oh. I would say, this is weird, but it was a Daruka root, which
what is that?
Yeah, I don't even know, to be honest. I'm
cool.
not going to try and explain it, but it's another Fijian
okay.
dish.
Awesome.
I would say roti, my mum's
oh,
homemade roti.
I've seen your mum making
roti.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
It's the
Yum.
Best.
Yeah.
So I would say that puri. Puri is like when you basically just deep fry the roti,
oh, so
the
good,
roti mix.
So good.
And I would Yummy. Have to say... Like some toast made.
Yeah, classic kind of thing.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It's
toast
great.
Is great.
I've always, I've got such envy when I see your mum on your stories making food for you there. I'm like,
yeah.
oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, the last question.
Go.
What is the last thing you tried for the first time? I love that question. You have to think, what the hell does she mean?
Well, the thing that's running through my head right now is that I'm so angry at myself that I haven't tried anything new in a long time.
Ah,
that's quite disappointing.
Because okay,
it's,
yeah.
I mean, I should be able to just turn around and say, I had blah, blah, blah. But
no.
I just, I don't,
We're
I
creatures
haven't.
Of habit.
We're creatures of habit. And that's mm-hmm. the danger. I mean, it's not a danger because sometimes that consistency is good for your
yes.
body.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say that I can't even remember the last time I tried something new, which is just.
So now you're going to have to go out.
Me.
Try
Thank
something
you.
New. Tell me. Tag me when you do it. I want
will.
To see you trying your new food.
I will try something new.
Do it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that wraps up nearly the end of this episode. Oh my goodness, we've had so many amazing knowledge bombs in there as well, which is great. But as with every guest, we finish with a food for thought. So mine today is that, honestly, I think a stress-free life obviously doesn't happen by chance. It happens by choice to some degree. We have to really think about our lives. And for instance, the Mental Health Foundation say that 74% of us now in the UK have felt so stressed at some point over the last year that they've been unable to cope. And I think I've learned so much from Shona and how amazing it feels to incorporate some calming kind of yoga or stretching. Like even she just said, having her YouTube video when you feel ill, just getting some kind of movement in. And admittedly, even though I haven't quite got the knack of meditation yet, I just think some moments when I stretch, I do feel much better. So I think managing stress levels would be my little nugget, my food for thought to take away. What would yours be today if you could offer something for the listeners, just to put you on the spot there?
You really put me on the spot, Ruby.
I do.
Okay. So I would say, this is something I've been thinking a lot about, actually, okay. and talking a lot about, mm-hmm. is taking responsibility.
Yes. Yeah.
And again, coming back to this sort of feminist angle, is mm-hmm. that, you know, we don't want to be objectified anymore. We don't want to be, you know, we want to be seen as equals in our own way. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean from a physical perspective.
Yeah.
But I do think we need to, therefore, if we want that kind of freedom and independence,
yes.
take responsibility. And one of the biggest things is take responsibility for your health and being in that, mm-hmm. your fitness and your strength. So rather than just relying on someone else to give you the information and then allowing yourself to be confused because there's so much different
yeah.
information out there,
yeah.
take responsibility for trying to understand your own body. Don't just try to feel better, but get yeah. better at being able to feel.
No one else is going to do it but you.
Absolutely not.
Thank you, Shona Virtue,
Thank
for coming
you.
On the Food for Thought podcast. Thanks for coming, babe.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love my next guest. So click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And remember, a bit of extra guidance and advice may be all it takes to help you become the healthiest and happiest version of you. In my part handbook and part recipe book, Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, you can follow the structure of a session with me in clinic, gaining the confidence you need to create delicious, nourishing meals at home with my Renourish menu. Check it out on Amazon or all major bookshops. For more information about me, my clinic, recipes, events, health retreats, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Stir-fry meals can make dinner a breeze. It's time to stop planning to make elaborate meals that you know you'll never have the energy for at the end of a long day at work. The fact is that you can have an amazing, healthy meal that impresses without a ton of fuss. You just need one pan, a wooden spoon, and there's minimal cleaning up too. Using Hex Sweet Fusion Veggie Bangers made with fragrant Thai pesto, sweet potato, and sticky rice, I mix in broccoli, sugar snap peas, pak choy, and courgette. That's a wholesome meal that comes together in minutes. Just add some olive oil, crushed garlic, and soy sauce, and you've taken the hassle out of dinner in just a few minutes. Check out heckfood.co.uk or find them in the major supermarkets.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.